Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The really big story over the weekend, of course, was a family reunion. A soldier released from captivity in Afghanistan in exchange for the release of Taliban prisoners sent to Qatar from U.S. custody in Guantanamo Bay.
This morning, I called Bob and Jannie Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son, Bo, is coming home.
I love you, Bo. I'm so very proud of you. And, of course, all of your very large family would also like me to tell you that they love you also and are also very proud of you.
Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's mother, Jannie, speaking at a news conference in Idaho after the president's announcement. But a former prisoner of war, surprisingly, had some questions about this release. Vietnam-era POW John McCain, now the senior senator from Arizona.
We're all grateful that he has returned. I think there are legitimate questions about these individuals who are being released and the conditions under which they will be released.
What does the Bergdahl release say about U.S. policy toward the Taliban and the conduct of the war in Afghanistan? Joining us now is David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. David, welcome.
Good to be back with you, John.
So what does this say here? This deal is not necessarily something that came out of the blue. It was on the table years ago.
It sure was. And one of the interesting questions is why it wasn't struck in, say, 2011, which is when the discussions first came up. But, you know, John, when the discussion did first arise, it was in a very different context. Yes, everybody wanted to get Sergeant Bergdahl back, and that was a very urgent priority. But the idea of releasing the five senior members of the Taliban, one of whom had been the intelligence chief, one the defense chief, one with the blood of many thousands of Shia on their hands, is one that came about because the United States was trying to get into a broader accord with the Taliban that they hoped would lead to some kind of a peace process within Afghanistan. The idea at the time was that this would be a confidence-building measure, that you'd release five Taliban, you'd get Sergeant Bergdahl back, and the Taliban would be on the way to an agreement in which they would renounce al-Qaeda, they would work within the existing government structure of Afghanistan, and they would engage in a dialogue with the Afghan people. None of that happened. And in the end, when the deal was done this weekend, it was without that larger peace process involved.
I'm wondering if part of this has to do with the urgency with which the administration wants to resolve the question of the Gitmo inmates, in the sense that there's really no option for so many of them, and this was probably the only option to take care of five.
Well, there are three moving parts here. One of them was the urgency in getting back Sergeant Bergdahl. That photograph that was released earlier this year seemed to suggest that he was in declining health. The second urgency, I think, was to complete getting out of Afghanistan. And the president obviously was just there a week ago and announcing that by the end of the year, all troops except perhaps a token force, which would only be around for a couple of years, would be out. And then I think the third big issue is the one that you allude to here. And in this particular case, the difficulty of getting people out of Guantanamo is which people? So when this deal first was proposed in 2011, the then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, and the then Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, had very serious reservations about releasing these five, even if they were going to gutter for a year, because the concern was that they would be back in contact with other members of the Taliban, they could be leading operations remotely, and then eventually they would be repatriated.
So there's no confidence that these folks in Qatar are going to, you know, be, you know, working at the 7-Eleven there. The question is they could actually use Qatar on some level as a base of operations.
And that has to do with what the limitations on their actions in Qatar are. And I think you heard Senator McCain refer to that. And his big worry there, and it's shared by many others, is are the restrictions that will be placed on them enough to keep them from being back in the fight, either in leadership positions or more directly.
So do you think John McCain's questions are legitimate and that this will have some sort of political legs as the debate over this goes forward?
Well, they're certainly legitimate in that they were not only John McCain's questions, they were shared by many members of the Obama administration. And while the administration may not be advertising those today, as everybody celebrates the return of Sergeant Bergdahl, and I think that's a great thing to certainly to celebrate, those issues will come back up. Some Republicans have declared there will be hearings. I think at this point, as Senator McCain said, what's done is done. The five are gone. Sergeant Bergdahl is back. So I think you'll see sort of two levels of investigations underway. One is whether or not the administration followed the law. Clearly, they decided not to do the required 30-day notice to Congress. And then I think the second question will be the circumstances under which Sergeant Bergdahl ended up getting captured, whether he had wandered off the base, as some have alleged. And there's a lot these days that you're hearing from former members of his battalion who were quite concerned about how he ended up getting into the hands of the Taliban and what kind of price the United States paid in the effort to try to get him back.
Well, the Taliban prisoners are now in Qatar, and Sergeant Bergdahl is on his way to being reunited with his family. David Sanger, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, thanks so much.
Thank you.